Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And we are the Three Caballeros back together again.
Yes. Finally. Man, it's been a long time.
Man, guys, let me just say, I think for like the first 45 episodes, I didn't miss a week. And then like all of a sudden after episode 45 or something like that, I don't know what the actual number is. I just feel like I've gone AWOL.
No, you're good, man. Like, schedules happen, right?
Yeah.
Schedules, work. I don't know if
travel
our listeners know this. This is not our full-time job.
What?
Would love it to be our full-time job.
That explains a lot in my bank account.
Yes.
It explains why I get no dollars from this in my bank account.
That's right. That's right. But it is a great escape, right? It's a great escape to the magic and, man, speaking of escaping to the, Ryan.
No, we don't do it for the money. We do it. For the love.
That's right. No, yeah, so Ryan and I just got back from a trip. We did a little, I guess you'd call it a trip recap. We were in the parks live, and it was fun doing that, but would have loved to have you there, but you're dropping off a son at school. And
yeah, you know, it was a double first for me, right? First guy's trip I missed. I've never missed one.
Yeah.
Always been on a guy's trip. And then the second thing was first time dropping off a kid at college. So, you know, I was in the right place.
For sure.
Was definitely there with you guys in spirit. On the other hand, you guys came home sick and I didn't. So
there you go.
I don't know. I guess I did all right.
Yeah, I'm still fighting a little something. If I sound a little on the off side today. It's because
you're a little raspy.
Yeah. And I got water in me. I got a little throat lozenge.
You know, I mean, we could make some jokes like we did in middle school about, you know, mono and y'all being off together, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah. This is a G-rated show.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, one of the things, as we were just kind of walking around the parks and talking, actually, before we get into the actual show, we didn't even announce what our show today is.
No, we haven't got there yet. I mean, this week, something a little different. But this week we're ranking the best pre-shows at Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think it's kind of cool. It's a different sort of topic. It's one we get to maybe educate some of our listeners on. In fact, what did your wife say about
it? Yeah, she was like, a pre-show? Do you mean like the Beauty and the Beast sing-along or the Frozen Ever After? I'm like, no, an actual... Like before you go on the attraction, the little, you know, introduction to the attraction. She's like, I had no idea it was even called that.
Yeah.
Is that really a thing? And I'm like, yeah, it's really.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah.
And it's become a big part of particularly newer attractions that have come along. So I think this week's going to be awesome. Before we get into that, though, I think Ryan's got something he should share.
Yeah, we got a review.
Nice.
Yeah. So this, again. We've already talked about it. We are a unsupported podcast. We do this out of the love of our own hearts. We love Disney. Nobody's paying us to do this. So right now, the best way to support the show is actually to go on and give us a review and share this podcast with all of your friends and family. Send them links, and that's the best way to support us. And this week, we got a review from Boogie Downtown.
Boogie Downtown.
On Apple Podcasts, the right Boogie on. Downtown. And simply entitled, man, ! All right. And he goes on to say, always love listening to Jacked. I think he's talking about you, Dak.
Yeah.
Always love listening to Jacked talk Disney. Lets me live vicariously through his journeys.
There you go.
So.
Jacked.
Yeah. You know what?
Either I'm so unpopular he didn't get my name right, or... He's making reference to my physical build.
You know, guys, we are getting the message out there that Disney is really fun. So you know, I have a brother-in-law and sister-in-law who they're actually going to Disney here in a few weeks, staying at the Beach Club.
Ooh, nice. They've
thoroughly enjoyed our podcast. Their love of Disney, from what I've been told, has kind of, like, our podcast has kind of fueled this love of Disney they have now. So, you know, shout out to them for going to Disney and staying at the Beach Club. But that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get the message out that, you know, despite all the craziness in the world and the politics, it's like, no, you can just go to Disney and have a great time and enjoy it and be there as a family or by yourself. And
it's an escape.
It's an escape. Absolutely.
You know, I've got a lot of similar experiences. I have a number of my employees will randomly come and be like, man, love your show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then the podcast. And they talk about it. And folks I never would have expected, you know, listen to it. And then they have it in some of their friends and family. But you're absolutely right as you led off with that. Thanks, Boogie Downtown, for the review.
Boogie Downtown. Thanks for listening.
You know, thanks, Jacked, for bringing your great insights. But appreciate the reviews. That's the way we grow this show. We are like the 15th most popular podcast in Tanzania or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
That brings up a good point. So, yeah, so there's a couple different podcast ranking sites out there. And one of them you have to pay like $500 a month, something crazy like that. But there's one out there that's probably the most reputable. Anyway, the past couple of weeks, we have cracked some of these lists. So, yeah. Of all places, Tanzania. I'm not sure how that happened, but more recently, so in the U.S. alone, so most Disney podcasts reside in the places and travel category with Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And to crack that top 250 is pretty big deal. We actually peaked at like 160 a couple weeks ago, which was really cool. And
that's nice.
And again, with the UK places and travel ranking list. So
that is a big deal. No paid advertising or marketing efforts going into it. It's really literally just by word of mouth and, you know, accidental stumble upon, like, hey, this is kind of cool. So I think it brings back testament to the fact that, you know, I love doing this with you guys. Even those late nights when we all sometimes get together and we're like, it's a little bit of a chore to get out here and do it after long days at work. Like, our collective love, I hope, comes across to all of our listeners as we talk about our escape.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, let's get to the show today. Dak, lead us off.
Yeah. So again, we're doing our top 10 Disney pre-shows. So guys, if we were ChatGPT or some type of AI, how would you define what a pre-show is for an attraction going into Disney? What are your thoughts there?
My definition of a pre-show is the pre-show is a part of the attraction that helps define the story and what's to come after, bringing you into the attraction in terms of engagement and excitement, and also as a method to distract you from waiting in additional lines.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like an appetizer when you go out to eat. You get those queso fries before the steak comes out.
Yeah.
You're kind of getting the palate ready.
That's right.
For what's about to come.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So I it's basically when you're getting on an attraction or you're in the queue and you're doing that winding back and forth thing, at some point you're going to come into the building or the facility, wherever the attraction starts up, and there's going to be some sort of entertainment that's placed in front of you that tells you, like you're mentioning, Randy, the story that you're about to go into and what your role is in that story.
Yeah.
Now, the behind the scenes is, like you mentioned, what they're really doing is they're controlling the crowd levels that are going on to the attraction. And it's an entertaining way of helping you wait a little bit longer before you actually get on the ride.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I even thought about this as a topic is when we were in Disneyland this past week or two ago, we're sitting there and watching Soarin', which has a great pre-show. You know, Patrick comes out and introduces you to the flight and what you're going to be doing. And so anyways, I thought, man, this is a great pre-show to get you ready to go on Soarin'. we should do a top 10 pre-show list. So I started looking around online and I found an article and I want to give you guys their top 10 and then we'll discuss and see if we agree with it, disagree with it, or kind of what our feelings are. So here we go. So their, and I'll just run through them real quick. Their top 10 countdown is number 10, Dinosaur. Number 9, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Number 8, Avatar Flight of Passage. Number 7 is Soarin'. Number 6 is Test Track. Number 5 is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. Sorry about that. And then number 4, Tron. Number three.
Take your time,
Dax. Yeah, Rise of the Resistance. Number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. And their number 1 pre-show is The Haunted Mansion. So, what I thought we'd do is maybe go through this. I don't want to bash them per se, but just maybe give our thoughts on what do you guys think?
Well, for me, there's a glaring omission. Actually, a couple omissions that I think you have Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run that has a great pre-show.
Well, so the part that Dak didn't say actually is in one of these articles he found. So the list is longer than that. This is just the top 10 of those. So if you didn't hear something on there, it may have made that list, but it was even further down. But yeah. Ryan, I agree with you just to start right away.
And I think, honestly, and it's maybe been a while, but when Rock and Roller Coaster is full board working, I think their pre-show is amazing. That's just me.
I think the show is okay. The mechanics of it leave a lot to be desired.
Okay. Yeah, that's respectable.
But you know what else is missing a little bit, I think, is part of the pre-show? Where did Remy's Ratatouille adventure go to? Like, part of their pre-show actually puts you as like a miniature mouse person on the rooftops of France. There you go through, you see Gusto, the Michelin star goes out and everything like that. I mean, I just think it's not one of the most amazing parts, but that is part of what we're talking about, right? We're talking about where you become immersed in the attraction. The story already starts, and I would argue that the cue there as part of the pre-show starts when Gusto does his stuff on the rooftops while you're in line before you get into your little mouse buggy. I would personally put something like that way above Dinosaur. And you all know my love for Dinosaur, right? So this isn't a knock on Dinosaur. I love that attraction, but Dinosaur doesn't make a top 10 for me for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely remove Dinosaur from my top 10. The other one that kind of jumped off the page at me is Test Track. To me, that's not a pre-show at all. You're just
building
walking
the car
through a queue and building a car.
And to tell you the truth, you really kind of almost don't get to do that anymore. Half the time it has been working. That's why we're doing Test Track 3.0, of course, right?
Yeah.
I'll be really curious to find out if the car design experience is part of the new Test Track.
That's a good point.
I think it's a fan favorite. I think they'll bring it back.
Yeah, I think a lot of things are fan favorites that they do away with, like Tom Sawyer's Island.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works and how they incorporate that in. I do think that that's one of the, you know, enjoyable things about Test Track is you build your car and there's that competition within the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing. That could bump up Test Track's pre-show ranking.
It very well could. But you know, the biggest problem with it is even if you build your car for years now, those rankings and the boards on the right haven't worked. You've not been able to see where your car that you designed built will rank. And it's also why I'm not certain that they'll bring it back, right? When they've found elements of things that they've done that aren't going to be reliable, they're likely to remove those in the future because that actually becomes a point of disappointment for people. Like, where's my car? And I hated that ride. It didn't put my car up there.
Yeah. I tell you what, from this list, Dak, I'm taking out Mickey and Minnie's. I had to ask you guys in the pre-show. I didn't remember the pre-show of that attraction until you guys had reminded me of, like, well, it's a cute little you know, Mickey and Minnie short, and then is it Goofy that bust out of the wall? It's okay. I don't compare it to Smuggler's Run. I don't think it has that
dynamic. I think I have to disagree with you because I think that is the whole story of the ride. It starts with that video.
It's cute. Don't get me wrong. It's a cute little short.
But it's not cute. It talks about why you're getting on the train to go after and help rescue Mickey and Minnie. Remember, they got that's why the picnic and everything like that's going on and why they end up at the end. You know, nothing can stop us now. Okay, so I don't know.
I would keep it in my top 10, but I would bump it up the list. So for me, it'd probably fall in that 8, 9, 10 category versus, top 5, if you will.
Yeah, I could. That's fair. I think that's fair. And part of why I think that's fair, too, is, again, taking in the whole part of it, the pre-show clearly only starts at the video at Disney World. Very different approach to this attraction at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Right? Where I think actually the queue is more part of that pre-show in addition to the video. So,
yeah, the queue's a lot better at Disneyland.
The fact that that whole kind of experience is not really uniform there, yeah, I would bump it down. And we're talking today about Disney World attractions anyways, yeah. Right? So that's a fair point.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely bring in Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, right? I think so. For me, I would drop probably Dinosaur out of the top 10 as well. Not saying it's a bad pre-show, but I would drop it out.
You're getting rid of Mrs. Huxtable?
The short answer is yes, but this is the problem, like whenever you argue.
You know who else is getting rid of Mrs. Huxtable? The Imagineers.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. The early 90s are over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the hard thing, right? Whenever someone starts comparing things, it's like, well, I like this better than that. It doesn't necessarily mean that the thing that you don't like as much is a horrible thing. We've gotten to that spot in this world where it's like, if I think this player is better than that player, then all of a sudden that means that I hate this other player. No, I still like him. I just enjoy watching this guy better than the other one, right? Same thing with these pre-shows. I just because I say I would bump Dinosaur out of the top 10 doesn't mean that it's a horrible...
Yeah, look, we're making up our own arbitrary rankings here to a certain degree, and I think that's fair. You know, Ryan's not a fan of Mickey and Minnie. Of course, I look at a top 10, and I'm like, well, if I want to put something like Millennium Falcon in there, something's got to go.
Yeah.
If I want to put Rock and Roller Coaster in there, something's got to go. How do you do that? I would say overall, right, I want to start at the very top. Their ranking puts Haunted Mansion number one. Haunted Mansion's a great pre-show, but it's not number one for me. And I love Haunted Mansion. I absolutely do.
Yeah, you said you have it memorized, right? Like it's
I'm one of those annoying dudes. I have to catch myself to stop ruining everyone else's experience, thinking I'm so clever reciting it while it happens because I can do it in the voice. And so, but it's not number one. You're basically on an elevator in that stretching room. And then you go into what I call the little COVID chamber where everyone kind of jumbles together and figures out how to cut each other off and squeeze into a line. That's the most disorganized thing I've ever seen.
It's pretty
in all the Disney parks. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I just, you know, their list has Avatar down at number 8. That's shocking to me.
That is a little shocking.
Yeah.
Like, that was, to tell you the truth, if you really think about it, the evolution of pre-shows kind of started with Flight of Passage. Everything before that was just a little bit of an introduction, and that would include things like Haunted Mansion. But with Flight of Passage, they said, hey, how do we bring folks into this and be part of it? And the pre-show there, in my opinion, starts well before you get into the chamber and you start having the videos. I think that if I were to, where's the pre-show start? I think it's in the lab.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think it's the Q walking outside. I don't think it's really the caves. That's nice. But I think the pre-show really starts in the lab. The lab is the last spot before you get assigned to go into your bays, and then the video starts. But it gives you the perspective and say, hey, what's going on? If you're not familiar with the movies, you're kind of questioning some stuff. If you are familiar with the movies, you're like, hey, I know what this is. And that's why it makes it that much more exciting when you go into the lab part or past the lab and you get the video and they're like, hey, we're going to sync you up and, you know, fly.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, it was pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, Avatar was that next evolution of the pre-show. Of course, you have like things like Haunted Mansion. Even Soarin', you have a live video presenting you with the story and all of that. But I just think Avatar took it to the next level where you're just, your mind was blown a little bit on, holy cow. Like, I remember the first time you go into the chamber and they're like, blowing off the
and you got to wiggle microbes around.
And you're wiggling it around
and you can see it on the screen. Yeah. Like, you're like, hey, that's my body. Oh, look at what I can do.
Yeah, that honestly, the first time I did that, it blew my mind. Yeah, I was like, how are they doing that?
Yep.
Like, how are they getting all of our body types and all of that on that screen? And it's live and it's real and it just feels so immersive in the storyline. So I agree with you. I think Avatar was the next evolution.
And then even when you get on the ride vehicle itself, right, when you kind of mount your Banshee, you know, and it's about to sync you up, like the vibrations that go through it, right? Before the ride even starts, like, you're like, hey, I'm they're really plugging me in here. Think about this. We did this for the first time as adults. So for the most part, we can tell the difference between the reality and fantasy. For the most part. Little kids, though, can you imagine having done that for the very first time as a kid? Like, think of our favorite Disney memories as kids. What if something like Flight of Passage was available when we were a kid? Like, what kind of mind-blowing experience would it have been then?
Yeah, for sure.
To get on the ride vehicle and it starts kind of vibrating or purring like you're on an actual animal. And then when it starts, you can feel the bellows of the breath expand at your knees. Like, man, that would have been something else, guys.
Is there a more unforgettable noise than when you are in the room and you're sitting on the Banshee for about maybe 10 to 15 seconds while everybody syncs up? All you're hearing is like that slow rumbling, humming that just because of the Banshees is just, I'm with you.
It's great. Like that. So I would say, I mean, if we want to start to get into it, I think some of those next level, you know, mind-blowing pre-shows where they, you know, have Guardians at number two, Rise of the Resistance. I mean, you want to talk about how mind-blowing the first time or first few times even you go on Rise of the Resistance and you're like, wait, are we on the attraction or what? Like, what is going on here? And I don't care who you are, Star Wars fan or not, when you get on that ship and the, you know, as a Resistance member, and they end up pulling you in on the tractor beam and you walk into that room full of stormtroopers, you are absolutely blown away. Like, there's
to this day, I sit there and intellectually say to myself, man, how'd they do that? And I know how they did it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same door. Like, that's the best part. I actually love getting on that ship, and when it's time to get off, just kind of looking around for some of the new people who are expecting to now have to get off on the opposite door because they know how the laws of physics work, right? And when the same door opens and now you're in a completely different environment, the look on some of those people's faces is absolute astonishment. Like, wait a second. But I was outside when I came in that door, and now I'm inside a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible, and it sets you up. And now the cast members who are part of the attraction immerse you in the storyline, and they treat you like dirt. And it's amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. And just, like, to the point where you're like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm actually in this movie right now, and I want to take a minute and just soak it all in and check all of this stuff out because I've never been able to experience this before.
Yeah.
I've never been this close to a stormtrooper. I've never been this close to a TIE fighter and some of these things that are going on when you're in that detainment center. And it just keeps going to the point where you're like, again, and until you get on that transport with the, it's an R5, right?
R5's piloting it. Yep.
You're just the whole time, you're just in awe. Yep. Like it's almost like I can't catch up enough to, the only time where I think you get a little bit of a break to kind of like come back to your senses is when they have you in that holding center and they're dividing you up into groups, right? You're the red group, you're the gray group.
But that's, you're still considering that part of the pre-show.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I am.
Because the article
I absolutely consider that part of the pre-show, because that's where you got first order cast members treating you like dirt, like you're going in for interrogation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just that's a great pre-show.
And actually, again, don't forget the pre-show here, it starts before the ship. BB-8 and Rey come out and tell you what's going on and why you're there and what you're about to do. They did a brilliant job of finding a way to make you part of the experience for 10 to 12 minutes before an 8-ish or so minute ride actually takes place.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's the genius of it.
And I want to pivot just a little bit to the other side of Galaxy's Edge. And let's talk for a moment about Millennium Falcon.
For sure.
Millennium Falcon didn't make the particular list that we found. It definitely makes my top 10. You talk about immersion. What is more immersive than getting on an attraction called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, where your job is to pilot the Millennium Falcon, in actually getting to walk through and tour the ship itself, a ship that you know so well because you've been watching it since 1976.
Yeah.
Right? You know the common area. You know that little chess table. And now you get to go and be there and even, by the way, push the buttons. Like,
yeah.
Those buttons, like, you can push them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, just, again, another one of those really, you know, 5 gold stars to the Imagineers for just coming together with the thoughts and like, okay, if you were really going to get the opportunity to fly the Millennium Falcon, what would that look like? What would it sound like? What would it feel like? What would you be experiencing?
Nauseating at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just like,
if you're an engineer,
how can we touch all of their senses before they even get on the experience?
Yeah.
How do we get them so immersed in the story that it is hard to tell reality from, you know, and separate that out? I think they did an amazing job with
great point about touching all the senses, because that's an attraction like a few others that absolutely does touch all of the senses. When you're going through the hangar bay there at Onaka Transport Solutions, right? Like, there's a distinct smell to it. And I'm convinced that smell, I haven't seen anything to talk about a particular smell or anything, but I'm convinced that smell is not just the BO of the people in line around you. It smells like you're in a hangar, you know, of some sort that's doing something mechanical. And there is a show going on around you on the speakers, the same thing, right? You think about the dude that they're testing the engines and stuff, and then it blows up, and then they're having a conversation, and he's like, why am I still on the speaker? That's even before you get to Hondo. Again, I think that's part of the pre-show.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
That's something that takes my mind off the fact that I'm walking up this inclined ramp, standing in line, waiting for something to happen. I'm part of it. And then you get to Hondo, and he's like, hey, this is why you're here. Chewie comes in. Now you walk on the Falcon itself. It's an amazing experience. I definitely just have to put it up there at one of my favorites.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that's kind of mind-blowing for me is Tron. Like, again, it's one of those things where, obviously, the first couple of times you go on it, you're just in awe. But there's certain moments where you just are blown away. The only thing I would change about Tron is it is a little long. Like, you get through one set of pre-show and then you end up extending, walking through a queue again, and then you get into
a really long queue.
And
then you get to the lockers, right? Which breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's one of those that I'm glad, you know, Universal has a lot of the lockers way up front, and you put all your stuff away. And then you find yourself, Hagrid is a good example of that, right? Hagrid's escape or motorbike, I can't remember what it's called, but you put your lockers in before you get in the line. And then for 3 hours, you don't have any of your stuff.
Yeah.
and that actually makes that really hard because there isn't a pre-show there. It's a very attractive queue, but there's really not a pre-show. You finally just get on a roller coaster. But I appreciate kind of the placement of it, but it does break up a little bit of what you would consider to be a pre-show. Now, I'll say this. You know, I had the privilege of being one of the first to get to do it in America because I went as part of pass holder preview. And in that first room that you get into right as you get inside the building and the glass window, you know, kind of de-electromagnetized or whatever you want to call that.
Digitized, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, all of a sudden it just goes from being opaque to translucent.
Yeah.
And like, I stood there for just a second. I was like, my head literally exploded for a moment. I was like, holy crap. Because I had taken very serious steps to not know what this attraction was going to be. Like, I didn't watch any of the stuff from Asia, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's been around for 10 years. I wanted to know and experience it myself for the first time. Just like we were talking about Flight of Passage, you know, you get on that the first time and you're like, wow, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
And then to go from there, after you get through a long queue and you go through the lockers to get into the room where you're about to get on your light cycle and you're in the grid and everything is, you know, just like you saw in Tron Legacy with the lights and the sounds and the smells, it's pretty special.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. Like you said, when they unfrost or hot, I don't know what they do to that glass to make it show the light cycles taking off, man, they hit you with that boom, right?
And the music gets you at the same time.
The music is going and it just, in that moment, you're just like, oh, like it's like, you know, those memes where you see people freaking out. It's it's pretty mind blowing. So, those were some of my top, I mean, I enjoy things like we mentioned before, I enjoy the Soren. I think he's just a fun guy to, you know, he's got a great voice, Patrick there. It's fun and it introduces you, but it's not, to me, again, that's kind of that 7, 8, 9, 10 realm where it's entertaining and it's fun and it tells the story, but it's not mind-blowing. Like, no one's
quirky, right? Personally, Soren doesn't make a top 10 for me.
Really? Right? Wow.
Like,
yeah, in terms of a pre-show, I probably would agree with that. There's not a lot there other than Patrick Warburton. Warburton, you know, good job, pal.
Just call him Kronk.
Kronk. Putty.
Or Putty.
Yeah.
But I think that my issue with it, I could make an argument at Disney World that the queue is part of the pre-show, you're doing these trivia games, but I've complained about that in other episodes before. I won't rehash a lot of that. It's not a great experience. Doesn't really work for you if you're moving through pretty fast. So you're really just standing in some lines and then you get frustrated like, why did I get stuck in the longest line? Because they divide you up and then you're like, oh no, now I'm on the bottom or the top left edge of the screen and I'm going to have the worst, you know, perspective. I don't know. I think that to tell you the truth, Kronk's video needs a big update personally. It's a little dated. Everyone involved?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And maybe that's where some of these pre-shows have an advantage over the other one is their newer technology, the, you know, images and the screens that we're seeing and the way that they're able to manipulate things has just advanced, right? Technology advances, and so that gives it a little bit of an edge. I mean, the one we haven't talked about that it's amazing technology is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, right? Like, again, just one of those experiences where you're absolutely blown away by what you're seeing, experiencing, hearing. I mean, again, they're drawing in all of those senses, and so it's just mind-blowing. It's a mind-blowing experience before you ever even get on the amazing ride that it is, right? Like, you're just like, to me, this is like, I don't even want to leave this, right? I don't even want to leave the pre-show to get on the experience because I'm enjoying the pre-show so much.
Where do you guys think in Cosmic Rewind the pre-show starts?
That's the beauty of it. To me, I don't know. Like,
I'm asking you, you have to pick now. I'm telling you to draw the line in the sand and pick. What do you think? Where does it start?
I'm having a hard time remembering the pre-show. I've only done the attraction twice. So I know there's, you know, Terry Tate, office linebacker.
I am very serious about this.
Yes. Terry Crews. He gets up there and Glenn Close gets up there. Yeah. I remember a little bit of the show, but I'm having a hard time fully remembering that complete experience.
So I consider myself a little bit of a Cosmic Rewind expert. I've done it a lot.
Yes.
Personally, for me, the pre-show starts the second I step in the building. You step in the building, and right there in that first kind of atrium, you're introduced to World Mind. World Mind tells you about the whole galaxy, and they start bringing you into these funny little quips, and Terran expert Peter Quill said, you know, this sort of thing, and it's different. It lasts a long time. I've never been in that room long enough to see any part of it repeat, and I've been in some long lines on that ride. So that, for me, that's really where it starts. And then after that, you're weaving through the queue, and now you're part and you're seeing exhibits, and you're seeing videos that are telling you the story about who the Guardians are and what they did. You're learning about the Nova Corps. You get to see their ships. You get to see their uniforms, and you get to hear about what's happening. So that by the time you get to your first video room part of what most people would consider the traditional pre-show, hey, you're about to do this, we're going to transport you, you're already in the experience, you already know what's going on, and it makes a lot of sense if you were paying attention.
So this list ranked this at number two. Do you agree with that?
I think two is fair. I could make an argument for one. I could make an argument for three just because we have great ones out there, right? I think you could make a great argument for Rise of the Resistance at the top. I think, but for me, if you really want to know, if I'm putting my top four up there in no particular order, the best pre-shows are going to be Guardians, Rise, Tron, and Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
I think those are the four best pre-shows. And then without a doubt, I'm going to hit Millennium Falcon as number five for me.
Yeah, I would have a hard time arguing with that. Again, it would be really hard to nitpick and say, well, I choose Rise over Tron or Tron over Guardians or whatever the... So maybe that's how we look at this is like you said, our top four.
I'd probably put them in buckets, right?
Okay.
Instead of here's one, two, three, four. It's like, yeah, here's the top grouping. And that's my top grouping.
So then your second group, five, six, seven. We already said Millennium Falcon has to be.
Falcon's a pretty solid five there. I think that's where you get your Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
That's where you get your Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. By the way, we didn't talk about that one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
holy cow.
Yeah, that's Ryan's baby. And I agree. I mean, you want to talk about getting you scared and in the mood?
That's it, right?
Like, freaked out. I mean,
yep.
It's just a... For me, who doesn't enjoy particularly that ride, that's not helping, right? Like, it's ramping up my anxiety more than, like, calming me down. Like, okay, you're going to be all right. This, you know, the mechanics knew what they were doing this morning as they walked through the ride and did their pre-safety checks and all that thing. Like,
no, they slept in. And, you're an adult.
Yes.
Think about the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Think about the kids. The kids love the books.
No, I agree. So I would say, again, and it's going to be hard to nitpick Haunted Mansion versus Tower of Terror, which one you enjoy. I think that's just going to come down to your personal preference. But I think you're right. I think our next bucket of three is, you know, Millennium Falcon, Haunted Mansion, Tower of Terror, maybe again in no particular order.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think a Mickey and Minnie is a pretty for me, a solid one. Maybe not for Ryan, but it's a solid one to go in there. You know,
Soarin'.
You can make argument for Soarin'. You know, I think that there's opportunities. You know, Rock and Roller Coaster, again, one that didn't fit in there. Like, I for, again, there's one. I'm dropping Soarin out to put Rock and Roller Coaster in there.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would say Soarin, Rock and Roller Coaster, Mickey and Minnie's would top out my 8, 9, 10.
Patrick Warburton's great, but Steve Tyler put me on a limo.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
You know, what can I say?
You can't be that. Yeah.
We, making a super stretch.
Backstage got passes.
Backstage passes on a super stretch.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk about the 80s.
For sure. And then, yeah, and then I would push Dinosaur, you know, Test Track out of my top 10 to bring in those, bring in Rock and Roller Coaster and bring in, what was the other one we just talked about? Oh, Millennium Falcon, of course.
Yeah. And I want to mention just briefly before we probably wrap up here, but, you know, sometimes the attractions change over time. And elements that have been part of an attraction queue, or you could even, I think, consider as part of a pre-show, they disappear, they go away after a while. You know, Big Thunder Mountain's a good example of this. When the whole queue is going and all of the stuff is working, there's stuff in the mine house, or I don't know what you want to call it, but the big place that you're in that you actually interact with parts of the attraction while people are on it. You can blow up dynamite that sprays water, you know, as a roller coaster kind of goes by. You can churn the things and spin the wheels and see stuff. Now, not all that stuff works very well anymore, which is why you don't consider it, but that's helping you kind of get into the spirit of, again, for this sure. is the attraction and it's distracting me from the queue. Space Mountain used to do an amazing job with this, right? You know, look, the queue for Space Mountain, it's brutal. Let's just be honest. It's dark and it smells terrible. It feels dirty. Even after they repaint the floors, you know, the last time I went, I'm like, wow, this paint's already faded, which is too bad because they did something really cool like that garage epoxy with like the metallic specks and stuff. I'm like, oh, it looks amazing. Last time I went, I was like, oh, it's dull and faded. Everyone's dirty feet have screwed it up. But once upon a time, there used to be video games in that queue while you are, don't forget, you're supposed to be getting on a space station before you blast off onto your rocket. And so these cues change after a while, and sometimes the pre-show goes away. I think they tried to bring some of those elements back when they introduced the Play Disney Parks, and there were some really good interactive games specific to Space Mountain, but not all of those games are available anymore. Some of the problems is people realize, wow, this ate up all of my phone battery while I was in this queue, and I don't want to do it, so the juice isn't worth the squeeze, right? So the attractions do change after a while. I'll be curious in a number of years how we feel about some of these pre-shows in the future after we are so familiar with it, right? Is there going to be an evolution to Cosmic Rewind? Will there be an evolution to, you know, Flight of Passage? We still rank them pretty high because a little bit of their freshness, but that's also why we don't rank Twilight Zone Tower of Terror as high anymore, because we're so familiar with it. It's been around so long that you're like, yeah, okay, good. I know which corner I need to stand in so I can get out in front of all these people first. Again, same thing a little bit with Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I agree. I think what will be interesting, especially with all of these D23 announcements, is as these new attractions come in and we get just more and more technology, like I'm sure this list will evolve and change and grow over time, and it'll just become, you know, unfortunately, we'll see. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, we'll see Guardians rise. They'll kind of drop into that 5, 6, 7, 8 phrase.
Expect it to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of the parks.
Let's hope it does.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the
beauty.
That
means they're putting out better technology and better attractions.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, listen, guys, great show. This was a fun topic. Give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we'd love to hear from you. Like, we'd love to hear, maybe not about Jack. No one cares about that guy. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. And
he's the heart and soul.
So anyways, give us a like and a follow and let us know how we're doing.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.